Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Catherine sends me this tweet, and I think it's hysterical. A big picture, and we've seen this tweet all over internet, whether it's this picture, I should say, all over Twitter, all over Facebook. It's been on Instagram as well. A picture of the president in front of what was the spread that he served for the Clemson football team on Monday night. And it's burgers and it's fries and it's fast food. And I know that fast food is definitely bad for your health if you consume it on a daily basis. I'm with you, Catherine. However, that must have smelled amazing. I love fries. And while I don't eat fast food very often, I absolutely could house a quarter pounder. It's one of my favorite burgers of all time. Same thing with a Wendy's burger. Ooh, I wonder if there were shakes as well from Wendy's. So if you think about it from the perspective of a bunch of college kids, and I just had a college kid stay with me for a week, so I got it firsthand. That must have been awesome. So yes, too much fast food goes in the category of hashtag things that are bad for your health. I agree with you there, Catherine, but a one-time trip to the White House to eat a bunch of hot fast food, yeah, I would sign me up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can reach us inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I confessed on Twitter, road rage in all capital letters. Hashtag things that are bad for your health. Some of you are getting creative with your tweets. For sure, smoking, bad for your health. I gotcha. But Willie says, watching today's NBA, bad for your health. It depends. If you are a defensive stalwart, if you're all about the foot fire, if you're all about the low scoring games in which we get more block shots than we do three pointers, well, okay, yeah. It might be bad on the ticker, hard on the ticker. But for the NBA and the NFL, for pretty much every sport going right now, they recognize that fans are drawn to high octane, prolific offenses, which is why the rules are shading that way. I do college basketball games on TV and radio in my other life. And even in the college game, there's no more hand checking. In fact, there's no more contact. Essentially, every offensive player has a bubble around him or her.
No touching of the hair or face.
Exactly. If you touch the face, you could be tossed out, for heaven's sakes. It used to be that the hand was part of the ball. Now probably the hair is part of the face, and you can't touch the hair either. It bothers me. I love the game of basketball, but to me it becomes more of a skills competition than it actually does become a battle of offense versus defense. Hashtag things that are bad for your health. Josh says Amazon and other places that deliver pretty much anything and everything to your doorstep is bad. I mean, I've been known to order a few things from Amazon now and then, but you know what's bad for your health? Having packages out on your doorstep all day, because now it's become a profession. In the United States of America, we have professional box stealers. Could there be another term for it? Package stealers, package thieves, professional package thieves. There are literally people around the country who follow the Amazon trucks and the delivery trucks, the mail trucks, during the daytime when there are fewer people to be at home, especially in a place where it's a lot of 9-to-5ers. So if you are a professional package thief, I would think that would be bad for your health. only because you're eventually going to get caught. People have security cameras now. You better watch out. Oh, and some people also have guns. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. But if you don't want to call in your question for Ask Amy Anything, you can post it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or also on our Facebook page named After the Show. We'll get to some QB news coming up in 10 minutes. And by QB news, I mean the Philadelphia Eagles have doubled down. And we just gave you the news on Cam Newton. Well, I guess it's not definitive news yet. But the possibilities when it comes to Cam Newton. I can't get over that. I'm still having a hard time absorbing it. I guess if the Indianapolis Colts had said to us ahead of time, Andrew Luck's going to miss all of next season, it would have been harder to digest. The idea to wrap your brain around the fact that Cam Newton might sit out an entire year. Yes, quarterbacks survive it and come back. But gosh, here he is in the offseason. Is the shoulder injury that serious that he can't recover through the offseason? That's the part that really concerns me. So in addition to the Philadelphia Eagles doubling down with their quarterback, Philip Rivers delivers his final comments after a disappointing end in the divisional round of the playoffs. And Jerry Jones gets asked the question again about Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Jason Garrett. So there's some QB news in there as well. As I was talking about with Dane Brugler, there are quarterbacks available in the NFL draft, but not nearly as many as what we had this past year. So remember, 5 NFL QBs taken in the first round of the draft. And why do I call them NFL QBs? Well, because they all played this year. And one of them made the postseason. Lamar Jackson. He may have saved John Harbaugh's job. And he certainly has forced Joe Flacco out with the fact that their offense was changed to fit Lamar Jackson's skill set. And that's how they made the playoffs. There's no going back now. They already passed the point of no return. And so you had one of the rookie quarterbacks make the postseason. In fact, Lamar Jackson was the youngest QB ever to start a playoff game in the NFL. But then you also had Josh Rosen, Josh Allen. Oh, by the way, there's another Josh Allen in this draft, but he's not a quarterback. Don't get confused. Josh Allen's not leaving Buffalo and re-entering the draft. Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, of course, who set the rookie touchdown passing record with 27, passing Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. Some rarefied air. All 5 of the rookie QBs got on the field from the first round. Got on the field and played. Sam Darnold is the one that I didn't mention, but with the New York Jets, he just got the eyes of Adam Gase hired in New York. This draft is not like that one. There could be a couple who end up starting. There could be none. Dwayne Haskins declared for the NFL draft because he realizes that it's so devoid of major star power at that position. And he recognizes, now this is pre-Kyler Murray, but he could very well end up being the highest quarterback taken, could be the number one overall pick. The issue, though, is that the teams in the top 5, at least right now, don't need QBs. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't imagine the Arizona Cardinals picking number 1 overall with a quarterback. You just picked one. And I get they're both cheap, but are you really ready to throw in the towel? You have a defensive head coach. There wasn't a great offensive system in place. There was no offensive line in Arizona. Are you really going to evaluate Josh Rosen as bad as it was? And it was bad, let's be honest. Are you going to evaluate Josh Rosen and his potential when you already knew he was a project? Without a quarterback coach, one who can really work with him, without any weapons, and without an offensive line, that to me seems like a waste of money and a waste of a first-round pick. So to me, the Arizona Cardinals don't need another quarterback. That's my opinion. I guess considering that Cliff Kingsbury thought Kyler Murray was worthy of the overall number one pick, back in, what was it, 18? So it was before he got the head coaching job. If that's the case, then maybe they change things around. Though, let's be honest, Cliff Kingsbury's not drafting for the Cardinals. That's not the pecking order there in Arizona. But the Cardinals have the number one pick. The Niners don't need a quarterback there at number two. The Jets don't need a quarterback there at number three. The Raiders don't need a quarterback there at number four, at least according to John Gruden. He says Derek Carr is his man. The Buccaneers are committed to Jameis Winston, so they're not drafting another quarterback. There's your top five right there. The Giants didn't take a quarterback at number two last year, are likely going to take a QB at number six this year. And I don't think they need to move up. If I'm the New York Giants, why do you need to move up when you're probably going to get your pick of quarterback at number six? Unless, here's the big caveat, another team leapfrogs over you with a big trade. But the problem is, I just don't see a quarterback in this draft that's worthy of clamoring for. I don't see one that's worthy of trading up to get him. I don't think it's necessary. But that's just me. The Giants at number six, the Jacksonville Jaguars at number seven. Those two teams could likely take quarterbacks in the first round. Again, though, it seems like a really high draft slot for a quarterback that you're not completely confident is your number one guy. Maybe they will be by the time we go through the combine and through the workout process, the evaluation process, and get to the draft. I just don't think the Giants or Jags need to move up. Unless the Jags think the Giants are going to take their quarterback pick, to me, it's a waste of money. And a waste of draft picks it would take to move up. The Detroit Lions are not taking a quarterback. The Bills are not taking a quarterback. The Broncos could at number 10. That whole situation is just weird. They're still searching for Peyton Manning's replacement. The Bengals pick at number 11. And while Andy Dalton was injured and they lost seven of their last eight down the stretch, They're signed through him to 2020. So it would be, I think it would be a complete about face if they ended up moving on from Andy Dalton. And here's something else that stands out to me. If Hugh Jackson's going to be on that staff, Jackson and Andy Dalton have a pre-existing profitable relationship. Dalton really, really blossomed under Hugh Jackson. The Packers are at 12. They don't need a quarterback. The Dolphins might. The Falcons aren't drafting a quarterback at 14. The Redskins might at 15. The problem is, if you don't think you have Alex Smith back at any point, but not ready for next season, you probably need a veteran, not a rookie, to help you in the immediate future. So those are just some of my thoughts about the top 15. But I think the draft is fascinating, and maybe it works that you don't have a clear-cut group of QBs that are going to vie for that overall number one pick. At least looking at it right now, trades can always happen. And we're still waiting, of course, for the league year, for the games to run out, the new league year to get started, and then we'll see what moves different teams might make. We think Flacco's going to get cut, but could they find a trade partner for him? Blake Bortles will likely be cut. They're not going to find a trade partner for him. What happens with the Redskins? What about Ryan Tannehill? I know Marcus Mariota's option got picked up for 2019. It's the last year of his rookie deal, but that's another one where I kind of look at it and think, could they be ready for something different? We're talking about Carson Wentz being injury prone. What about Marcus Mariota? And that leads me right into QB news. You'll hear what Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman have to say about Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. Philip Rivers, he's not at the end of the road. There are some people who thought he might retire after this exit in the playoffs. I don't know if he called it early. And then Jerry Jones, still answering questions without saying anything at all. When you say nothing at all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Things that are bad for your health are making me laugh. They're good. They're creative. I'll read the creative ones. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, it's now 20 minutes away. So both Facebook and Twitter available to come up with your creative queries. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We've been waiting, not that this is any capital secret, but we've been waiting to hear it directly from Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman, the head coach and general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now that their season is done, they can start working on 2019, and they are doubling down at the quarterback position.
Carson is the quarterback going forward. And in Nick's case, listen, we'd love to have everybody back throughout the roster. But as I've said many, many times, you know, it's not about one guy. You know, it's about the team, and we're going to do what's best for the team.
We have a lot of confidence in Carson and his ability to be our quarterback and to be hopefully, you know, a 19-game starter when we look at the season, what we're trying to do. That being said, coach, from the day he came here, quarterback's always going to be a priority position for us. We're always going to try to have talent at that position. We got great quarterback teachers in this building. And, you know, we're always going to be looking at that spot and trying to improve like any other spot that's important to our football team.
Eagles coach Doug Peterson says Carson is our starter moving forward. Howie Roseman says we believe that Carson Wentz can be a guy who stays out there the entire season on into the postseason. And, okay, you look at the two injuries he suffered. Lots of players have ACL tears. That's pretty standard. But when you think about the back injury, the fact that he was playing with a bad back, he did have some really good numbers this year. When he finally got into a rhythm and groove, he had some positive numbers. There is a lot to like about Carson Wentz. He can be a dynamic starter in this league, but he's got to stay on the field. Howie Roseman says he's confident that the injury history of the Eagles' young QB is not a problem. Though both of them mention Nick Foles. Why? Well, because Foles is the one who's been on the field. Foles is the one who's led them to the playoffs this particular year, including that fourth consecutive postseason win against the Bears. And while there's certainly a history with Foles, too, that could say, okay, the other shoe is going to drop, the fact is this situation has been perfect for him, and I don't know that the Eagles could come up with a better quarterback room than Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, and certainly Howie Roseman knows that.
We would love to keep Nick Foles. I mean, you talk about a guy who we drafted here and we've grown incredibly close with. As we go into the substance of those discussions, we haven't had them yet, but there's no question we love having Nick Foles as an Eagle in Philadelphia, and we'd love to keep him.
But the definitive word is Carson 1 and Nick Foles 2 if he decides to stay. The issue, of course, they'd have to pay him $20 million. That's what's written into his contract. I've talked about this. I wrote a column about this. Foles deserves to choose. There's no Super Bowl win without him. There's no playoffs this year without him. If he wants to stay in Philadelphia, then he should get paid the $20 million. Now, is that going to make him happy? Maybe not. Probably not if he really wants to start, which he's indicated he does. He's indicated he wants to be the guy that a team builds around. He wants to be a leader. And he can. He's certainly shown that he has those qualities that make the perfect leader for your offense. Now, without Doug Peterson, can he go somewhere else without these same guys and be as productive? Maybe not. There's always that possibility. It didn't work outside of Philadelphia with the St. Louis Rams. Haha, St. Louis. They were, in fact, in St. Louis. But Foles should get to decide. He may very well pay them back his signing bonus and say, I'm going to capitalize while I can. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Phillip Rivers, certainly disappointed with the way the season ended in New England. And I don't know if it hurts less if you're really competitive and you lose at the end of a game, or if you just get steamrolled the way the Chargers did, with the Patriots scoring on their first four possessions and essentially putting the game out of reach at halftime. There was a lot of excitement over the Chargers because of how well they had played on the road. In fact, the only game they'd lost on the road going into New England was against the Rams.
When you're in the midst of it, you talk about what a good road team. Man, we've won 9 in a row on the road. Yeah, we'll go anywhere. And we believe that. And we'll continue to believe that. That'll continue to be kind of a mantra for our team, I know, because we played good in those situations. But it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, you win 9 in a row getting on an airplane. I mean, how long is that streak going to go? You know, and we certainly believed it was going to last 3 more this year.
And, of course, if you think about the hand they were dealt, having 12 wins, but being the wild card team in the AFC West, had to go to Baltimore, fly back across the country, then go to New England, fly back across the country. So keeping in mind not just the weather changes from Los Angeles to the Northeast, but also the idea of the travel. And as Philip Rivers points out, eventually you get to the point where the streak ends. I mean, that's how it goes when you're on the road in any sport at any time, especially against a team as good as the New England Patriots are at Gillette Stadium. But there are reasons to be excited about next season. There are reasons to look forward to the team getting back together in April. It's not that far away when you have those first OTAs in the NFL.
Shoot, we won 13 games, and, you know, I think this team is headed in the right direction, no question. You know, Coach Lynn's first year being 9-7, fighting back after an 0-4 start, and then this year winning 13 games and winning a playoff game, by no means are we satisfied, but definitely something to build on heading into next year.
Yeah, you think? I mean, just the way the NFL playoff system is set up, they were one of the best teams in the league all year and were in the running for that AFC West title as well as a bye until the very end. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dallas Cowboys turned things around from a 3-5 start to then winning the NFC East and potentially saving Jason Garrett's job. Though Jerry Jones told our Dallas affiliate 105.3 The Fan that they have not made any decisions yet, and that he would know because he is the one who makes the final say, who has the final word. He was a little bit defiant in his weekly interview, but he also is slightly miffed, I think. Even though he swears he's not, it's just annoying to have to answer the same questions over and over again. What about Ezekiel Elliott? What about the future of Dak Prescott? He's not giving up anything right now.
Are you asking me, do we want Zeke in the foreseeable future on the Dallas Cowboys? The answer is yes. That'd be madness to think any differently. you ask a question about Dak, and the answer is yes. I want him in the short term and the long term. Dak. Now that's something. But Zeke, it's like asking if you want Martin or if you want Smith. Certainly we do. And again, I may sound a little frustrated. I'm not at all. It's just that some of these things. Do you want Lawrence for the foreseeable future? Byron Jones. A lot of these guys. Yes. Now. Getting there, hell, I want a bigger boat.
Wait, a bigger boat? You have a $250 million yacht. Why do you want a bigger boat? How can you even use the beach club and the two helipads and the spa at the boat you've got? Remember, Jerry Jones celebrated 2019 with a $250 million yacht that has a crew of 20. Also, did you get the fact that you get the idea he just wanted to say, duh? Like, do we want Zeke back? Duh. Do we want Lawrence back? Duh. I may sound frustrated, but I'm not. Yes, you are. Although, a $250 million yacht can go a long way toward easing your stress. Hashtag things that are bad for your health. Not having a $250 million yacht. Oh, or having a $250 million yacht and thinking you need a bigger boat. Is he kidding? Is he kidding right now? It's like asking me if I want a bigger boat. He's a hoot. I can't even identify with his world. That is Monopoly money to me. It's some kind of reality show that I do not belong in. All right, coming up next, Ask Amy Anything. Your last chance to send your questions first to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then to our Facebook page named after this here show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'm going to use the hashtag again, things that are bad for your health. Plunging into the Chesapeake Bay in January. However, as long as I get out of the water and I actually survive it, it's for a great cause. We're going to talk to the head of Special Olympics in Maryland coming up tomorrow morning on the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And producer Chris is armed and dangerous with your questions for Ask Amy Anything.
That I am. And we will start with Zach, who asks, what is your dream car?
You know, it's so funny. It used to be a Lamborghini when I was a kid because of the movies Cannonball Run. Oh my gosh, every now and then when my mom would let me watch those movies, they were very exciting. So it used to be a Lamborghini. And then a couple of years ago, I was driving on the highway and I saw an orange Lamborghini. It was crazy, right? It's orange, which is my absolute favorite color. And it was a Lamborghini with those doors that open up. And right, they go upwards. They kind of open out like wings from the car. And I thought, well, I first of all laughed my rear end off and then thought, I can't believe I ever wanted that car. It's just, it's not as exciting anymore. My dream car is one that goes 300,000 miles like my Saturn Ion did. probably a Lexus. I like Infiniti too. The, you know, the, if I could afford a luxury car, a little more, a little nicer top of the line Infinities are really good too. So yeah, I don't, I'd rather have a horse. I'd rather have a boat. I don't even need a $250 million yacht. For me, when it comes to cars, I put so many miles on them. They don't even need something new or, you know, or fancy. My Subaru Forester is awesome. It's safe. I've already been rear-ended once in it. And other than a sore back for 24 hours, I was fine. Yeah, I'm not really a car person. But Lexus, just to have a Lexus would be nice.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Craig wants to know, who is your number one non-sport interview?
My number one non-sport interview. Well, does Condoleezza Rice count? Because, I mean, I know she's on the college football playoff committee and is involved in sports, but I've always wanted to pick her brain. I feel like she would be a really intelligent interview. And whoever the president is, it doesn't have to be this president, doesn't have to be the last president, it doesn't have to be the next president. I would love to sit down with any U.S. president because that, to me, comes with a different type of cachet. To be able to sit across, well, in our case, a lot of it, our interviews are on the phone, but to be able to sit across from a president and ask him questions, to me, that is a great honor. Not everybody gets to do that. And so, again, it doesn't matter which president. I'm not specifically speaking about the one we've got right now. Let me see. Other Tom Hanks, certainly he's my all-time favorite actor, and I would love to be able to talk to him about his experiences. That would be hard for me, though, because I would be starstruck. There are maybe 10 people in this entire world over whom I would get starstruck, and he would definitely be one of them. So those are three.
Greg wants to know, if you could be any animal, what would it be?
Huh. A Tyrannosaurus Rex? No, that doesn't count. It's not real. Let's see. Probably one of the big cats. Tiger, lion. They rule the jungle. You don't mess with them. And I like the fact that they're stealthy and they're beautiful. And they can also, they can hide. They can be lazy. They can be down in the grass where you can't see them. They can sleep the day away, which is something that I would like to do pretty much every day. But they're also fierce and they're intense. And when it comes time to go to work, they can get the work done and they can do it gracefully. So yeah, I think I like the fact that they can be both beautiful and laid back, but also intense and intimidating. So yeah, probably one that runs fast, maybe not a lion, maybe a tiger or a cheetah, something like that would be amazing.
Puma?
I mean, I guess. I kind of like the spots and all the different color designs on the coats. So I would say one that has, you know, stripes or the spots or leopard print.
We should also mention that Greg used hashtag Ask Amy Anything, which always gets you bonus points.
That's how you know to get to Chris's heart. Use the hashtag.
So Mark wants to know, what is the most unusual food that you've eaten and did you like it?
Oh gosh, this is hard. I don't know that I've done any crazy Fear Factor foods before. I've eaten octopus and I wasn't sure I would like it, but I did. I really liked it. It was in Mexico the first time I ate it. And now I eat it on a pretty regular basis, which is maybe something people didn't know about me. I love seafood and I get this gigantic bag of seafood at Sam's Club when I go and it includes octopus. So I eat it all the time. When I was in Ecuador, I've told this story before, we were warned about what would come in our soup. So there was this one particular church where they made us lunch and they served us soup with chicken feet. The foot was literally in the soup, which is, it's considered a delicacy, but it's also considered a piece of the chicken that adds flavor. Now, I don't know if they wash those chicken feet before they stick them in the soup, Can you imagine where the chicken's been scratching and all that jazz? So I was prepared for it, but I still blanched a little bit at seeing an actual chicken foot in my soup. I did not eat it. I did not gnaw on it, but there were Ecuadorians who were picking it up and who were chewing on it, like almost like a bone. I mean, it is a bone. It's like, yeah. Anyway, so if I hadn't been prepared, I would have freaked out. There was someone there with me on my team who wasn't prepared, and she made this crazy face, and I was like, stop it. You can't make faces about it. So, I didn't eat it, but it was in my soup, and it was a little bit, disconcerting.
How do they prepare it? Like, what do they do to it to make
nothing?
It edible?
You chop it off the chicken and throw it in the soup. They don't do anything. They don't cook it. It is a chicken foot. Dave's in there nodding. And your wife is Mexican, correct? Do they eat chicken feet in their soup?
My wife is Mexican, but I've spent time with people from Ecuador. I've actually seen this. I haven't tried it myself, but they kind of just toss it right in
there.
They do? They kind of just boils up with the soup, but that's really it. They don't really prepare it.
No, they didn't do anything to it. Yeah, I mean, the broth and the soup were really good, but once there's a chicken foot in it, it's like, whoa, how do you eat around the chicken foot?
Whoa is right.
Yeah.
Rich wants to know, what do you consider the characteristics of a good friend?
Loyal like a dog, and I mean that as a compliment. I am loyal to a fault. It's really difficult to get rid of me once I'm your friend. I stick through thick and thin, so loyalty is something that I believe is the perfect character trait of a friend. I would also say someone who is honest with you, because very often we don't have people in our lives who will tell us the truth, whether it's good or bad. And my best friend, she'll tell me the truth when it's bad. She'll say to me, you're being impatient, you're being rude, you're whatever you are, you're doing, you're stressing out over nothing. I mean, my best friends will tell me when I need something that I need to hear. And it's not like Twitter, right? We're not attempting to destroy you and hurt your feelings, but they'll tell you honestly, whether it's good or bad. They pump you up, but they also know that because you trust them, they want to be honest with you. So honesty, loyalty to a fault. The desire to spend time with me too, I think, is important, because in this day and age, in 2019, so much of our communication is done electronically. And for instance, this is just an example. If I have a friend who has my number, but instead sends me a happy birthday message on Facebook or Twitter, it's like, okay, you could have picked up the phone and called me. And so those people who go out of their way to stay in touch, even if it is sometimes text, sometimes calls, I set up phone calls because we all have busy lives. I set up phone calls with my friends so that we stay in touch. So I would say the desire to talk, to actually talk and have a verbal communication is becoming more and more important these days, too.
Crazy to think about, right?
It is. I mean, I'm so grateful I grew up without a cell phone and without social media, because I understand the value of actually speaking to people. And I know how to do it.
Well, yeah, we would hope so.
Can I just say, as a side note, I've dated a bunch of guys who can't. They just can't have a conversation. It's so awkward. They think texting is talking, and that's just... If it means I have to marry someone who's old, older than me, I don't care. As long as you can have a conversation. Do you know how many times they go in a restaurant and two people are sitting, presumably on a date or they're married, they're sitting at the table and they're both looking at their phones? No. Why waste the money? Just go home and sit on your couch and look at your phone. So maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm just old. I like talking. I like actual communication, and texting does not do it for me. Does not turn me on. If you ask me out on a text, I will say to you, yeah, when you call me, we can plan something. I mean, I don't accept date requests on text. It's just, yeah, it's not me.
Preaching to the choir there. Josh gets double bonus.
Chris is an old school.
I am.
Chris is actually an old soul in addition to being an old school guy.
I am. I once called a girl before we went out on a first date, and she was a little taken aback by it. It was the weirdest thing ever. Trying to get to know you. I guess
good
that's my
you.
Fault, right?
No. It's good for you.
So Josh gets double points because he used the hashtag AskAmyAnything. Fits into the hashtag things that are bad for your health, because he wants to know about the after hours nightlife or daylife. He says, what's a
nightlife? This is our nightlife.
That's right. What's a typical work day like? What time do you wake up, go to bed, and how long are you at the station before you skedaddle?
People ask me these questions all the time. I actually wrote a blog post called FQAs, Frequently Asked Questions About After Hours, and I'll tweet the link here in a minute. But just quickly, because we don't have a ton of time, I am usually in bed at 8 o'clock in the morning. So show gets off the air at 6 o'clock Eastern time. I'm usually in bed by 8, 8:30. I read a book. It helps me calm down. I try to sleep until 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon. It doesn't always happen. My dog's not a big fan of sleeping during the daytime. But also, there are other things we have to do. Usually, walk the dog, get caught up on social media and email for a couple of hours. And then the work night starts around 7 p.m., 8 p.m. with prep, with watching games. Obviously, we watch games on the weekends, so, you know, factor that in as well. But an average weekday, you know, there's prep. There's 2-3 hours of prep going on at home before I ever get here to work. I don't come in too early because I find that if I sit in a radio studio for too long, my energy level just tanks. And so I'm usually in studio 90 minutes to, you know, an hour before we start, depending on how late the late games go. And then, as you know, here we are. But yeah, my average rule is for every hour we're on the air, I prep at least an hour. And that includes watching games. It includes reading. It includes taking notes. It includes listening to audio. There's a lot that's involved in it. I wish I could take social media out, but I can't. That's also part of the process. Thanks for asking. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.